Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We're in the middle of a series right now. I've made this statement before. Usually I'll teach a series until I get direction on the next thing I'm supposed to teach. And we were on a series called Authentic Community. We may pick that up at some point down the road, but we were on a series on Authentic Community for a while. And then first part of the year, we switched to another series. The name of the series is Be Free. And I know, if you've been churched at all, I was raised in church my whole life. That's all I ever knew. I've told people, and I've heard people say this before, too, you know, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. I got drugged to church every Sunday. That was me, pretty much. First chance I had to get out of church when I was a teenager, I did. Because I kept hearing the same thing every single week, you know. And not that it was a bad message, but just didn't see any relevance. So the first chance I got a job, and I got scheduled on Sunday. Bummer. And then I was making the schedules, so bummer, I'm scheduled forever on Sundays. But that was my life growing up, and I've seen the church thing. I've been through the church thing, and I can honestly tell you, the series that we're in right now, Be Free. This series is really an eye opener. Even for me, you know, some years ago, the Lord started showing me things that I'd never seen in the Bible before. Even being raised in church, and this series I kind of feel is like one of those series. My wife and I were talking about this. Pastor Shelby and I were talking about this last week. I've got, two and a half, three books that I've got in my laptop that I've sat on for years. And I feel like that what God gives me now is potentially another one of those books. But, we've all heard the verse in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, where he said, verse 32, and this is quoted from the New American Standard. It says, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And I like the Passion Translation. If you have a chance to get the Passion Translation, go on Amazon. I'll shamelessly promote it. Go on Amazon and you can get pretty much the entire New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs in a bound book. I get them all in digital form because I can get them on this thing. But I would say go on there and get them if you do digital because you like to highlight or whatever. And you like to download, in your Kindle or whatever, your app. Just, get as many as you can. They're, $5-6 a piece. They do, in the digital copies, they do each letter, like all the writings of Paul, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, those, in sections. But I like the way the Passion Translation words things. The writer of the Passion Translation, he went into the Aramaic. Everybody say Aramaic. The Aramaic was the language, one of the languages of the day when Jesus walked on the planet. And in so many places, it brings out things that maybe the Greek doesn't bring out, which was the most common language of the day back then, Koine Greek, because of Alexander the Great. But I love the languages of the Old and New Testament, but I also love the Aramaic. And I just found that when I read the Passion Translation, you know, how many know you can read verses, but then you just read them and you read them? Well, I've read that before. You know, and so it's always good to have a new thought, right? I like new thoughts. I've read a lot of scriptures for a lot of years, and I can be honest with you, the things that I'm seeing now, I never saw before. So we're in a series called Be Free, and so what's the point of the series? The point of the series is, I believe the Spirit of God wants to show us and disconnect us from what we've associated as being Christianity, which is really just mental. You know, I was raised in church, like I said, and, you know, we knew verses, and we were told to memorize verses, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. The challenge with it is you begin to get trained how to fortify your mental processes, and you're not understanding how do you connect with the Spirit of God. So then everybody forms denominations. Based on the last thing we agreed on, we all group around that, and then we name ourselves. And then everybody else moves on to something else, and then they all agree about something, so they form a group, and then it keeps just going and going and going. And that's just kind of how natural man does things. The challenge is, I don't want to agree with people, I want to agree with Him. You know, and if He's the one that wrote this thing, I want to see things from His perspective. I want to read scriptures, and I want to see what He's seen in those scriptures. I don't want to just, you know, nothing wrong with, you know, getting instruction from people. The New Testament is very clear about the offices of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That they are in the body of Christ to facilitate the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. And it's fascinating even in that in these last number of years, we've kind of moved into a mentality of everybody says, I don't need them. I can just get it straight from the Spirit of God. The problem with that is the Spirit of God is the one that told you He gave them to you for you. So now we're back into the mentalities of man that, well, I don't need anybody else. So we have to constantly guard our thought processes against falling into ruts that just basically came from the mind of a man. You know, if somebody gets hurt, they just, I don't need anybody. You know, can't nobody do me like Jesus, and they leave. And then they go watch TV for their Christianity. Or they go do this, or they go do that, but they never associate with anybody else. And I've said this before, the challenge with these thought processes is we have to understand that the Spirit of God gave us, number one, the local church, and number two, what we've called the fivefold ministry, which is the evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, as heart checks. Everybody say heart checks. Heart checks. And if we remove ourselves from those, then we don't have anything that checks our heart. And then we're back into our own minds, and then we're back into the end of the Old Testament book of Judges that says, each man did that which is right in his own eyes. That's just the product of mental man. Everybody say mental man. I'll be using that term a lot in this series. So, when I began to do some study along these lines, you know, I saw John chapter 8, verse 31, and it says, Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed Him, and if you continue in My word, then you're truly disciples of Mine. And in previous lessons, we've talked about the definition of a disciple. You know, we all define it as what we define it as. But when we go back in and look and let Scripture define itself, you'll find in Isaiah chapter 50, around verse 4, that when Jesus said, here, if you continue in My word, you're truly disciples of Mine. And also when He gave the, quote, great commission at the end of Matthew and said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. He wasn't talking about the definition of disciples that we define as a disciple. Now, I don't know about you, but my upbringing says that a disciple is somebody that memorizes lots of scriptures. So you're trying to memorize scriptures. You're trying to store them in your mind. And then you're going to go and you take those scriptures and you're going to go out there and you're going to institute conversations with people and you're going to begin to tell them. And you may even be trained to, you know, give them five scriptures in a row. They're in such an order that you're supposed to lead them and direct them into a certain place. Does any of this sound familiar? And we've called that being a disciple. Depending on your persuasion, you might even hop on a two-wheeler and throw on a tie and put on a white shirt and ride down the street. And that's a disciple. But when Jesus used the word disciple, he wasn't even talking about that. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 talks about that he wakes me up in the morning and he trains my ear to hear. And then I know how to give a word of encouragement to lift the weary. So the scriptural definition of a disciple, and one that was certainly in the mind of Jesus when he used this term, not only in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, but also in the end of Matthew when he said, go and make disciples of nations. He was literally speaking of, go, you've experienced in the last, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm commentating, you've experienced in the last 3.5 years what it's been like to live connected to the Spirit of God. And you've seen the result. I'm telling you that your assignment is the same assignment that Father assigned to me. That's John chapter 15, 16, 17, around in there. The same assignment that I have is the same assignment I'm giving you. And not just you, but everyone who believes according to what you say. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make those that will allow themselves to be trained to hear and pick up on what I'm speaking at any given moment. And speak those things in the presence of people to lift them up and encourage them because they're weary and beat down. See, that's a whole nother level of living connected to the Spirit of God than just putting a boatload of scriptures on a piece of paper and let's memorize these puppies and let's go regurgitate them in front of somebody else. Again, I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but you're going to get minimal results. Because the mind of man recognizes the mind of man. Right? That's why people are staying away in droves. And I'll be honest with you, quite frankly, me growing up in my whole entire church life, that's all I ever knew was to live out of my head. You know, you say, what does living on your head look like? Well, how many have ever heard the phrase this? Well, I just believe. That's somebody who's living out of their mind. And there's other things like that too. But let's break down again what Jesus was saying here in John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews that had just begun to grab a hold of what he was saying and say, this guy really is who he says he is. And he said, look, he said, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. Now that word, in the original Greek language, the Koine Greek language, it was a compliment of Alexander the Great, who took over the entire known world. That word, my word, is the Greek word logos, which means, we've defined it as an accounting term. You know, it's an accounting, I took accounting some years ago, and it's really the, From A to Z, everything there is to know about this. This word logos means that. You could define it like this, God's original thought. I want to know God's original thoughts. Again, it doesn't mean that we separate and isolate ourselves away from those that may stand in the office of the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Because your Bible, whether you've read it like this or not, go read it, and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. We as individual people cannot reach what the Spirit of God determines as perfection unless we sit under the anointings that come from, the insights, the revelation that comes from those five offices. I know that flies in the face of so much of the mindset that is so independent, me and Jesus, and that's all we need. But that's not scriptural, because that doesn't cause us to come together. That causes us to isolate and separate. And the only person that wants you, the only influence that wants you to do that is darkness, because then it can beat the hell out of you. If it can get you to stay by yourself, it'll fill your head with all kind of junk and it'll beat the hell out of you. Or try to put the hell in you. And it sucks. So we have the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And I'm forgetting one, but anyway, there's five of them there. And we have the local church as what I would determine as heart checks. There really are fountains that revelation from the Spirit of God flows from. And it's really fascinating. I just even this last week, I have an acquaintance that is that stands in the office of the prophet. It's not just he's given to the prophetic things, because all of us living connected to the Spirit of God should be developed in a ear to hear and a mouth to speak. That's prophetic things. There is no special gift when it comes to prophetic things. It's just simply walking in the revelation, which is really what this series is about, from the Spirit of God, and having a trained ear to hear, or a sense to pick up the impressions, or in the different ways that he talks to you, just a knowing. I just have this knowing. You know, a lot of times it may start with something simple like, I don't know where my keys are. Where's my keys? I can't leave the house without my keys. Where's my keys? Lord, where's my keys? You may have a thought that reminds you, remember you left them over. Oh, yeah. And you go, yeah, oh, they're there. Or you may just have a knowing, and you just run upstairs and check behind this or that. Oh, they're not there. Or it's just, there's a number of ways. There's maybe just an impression. Maybe I should just check under my car seat. And you go out there, and they're, oh, man, they're right there. See, all of that is living in that place of revelation from the Spirit of God. But this man stands in the office of a prophet, and the difference being is he'll have insight, he'll have more clarity in things than, say, someone who just is learning how to develop in prophetic things. And so it's interesting that they see things, the five offices that I just talked to you about, they see things differently than one another. It's not theologically, it's just they have a vantage point, they have an insight because of the office they stand in that's different. And it was interesting that, I had posted something on Facebook. Anybody know what Facebook is? It's that small little obscure thing that, you know, some people go on. And it was basically, he was prophetically speaking of the signs of the times and, you know, and the death of Billy Graham, and what does this mean prophetically in, as far as world events, and even to the body of Christ, what does this mean? And so I posted it, because I understand exactly, when I read it, I understand exactly where he's coming from. So I posted it, and I immediately got someone who felt like it was their need to correct me. Not that I have an issue with being corrected, but what they said was the typical, I know theology, and that's all I know. And, you know, I didn't want to say anything to them. I just wanted to forget about it and go on. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, you know, I need to say something. I won't slice and dice them. But I basically said this, and this really applies to just even in a, not just the fivefold ministry giftings that are in the body of Christ, but also in the area just generally of valuing revelation from the Spirit of God. There's something to be said about ordering our life habits to value revelation from the Spirit of God and not just live life and do everything that fortifies your mental thought processes but does not develop you in learning how to connect with the Spirit of God and learn how to live in the moment in that place of revelation. We're going to get into some things today. Again, I'll be honest with you. First time I saw this, I was like, oh my gosh, am I really seeing this right? being honest. Because I was raised in church my whole life, and nobody ever taught me this stuff. But the more I began to read, the more I began to see in the scriptures, the more I'm saying, yeah, that's what it's saying. Jesus is simply saying here, if you continue in my, he's talking to the Jewish folks that are believing in him. He's saying, look, if you continue in my original thoughts, if you continue in my Father's original thoughts, then you'll truly be those that have given yourself to, allowing your ear to be trained to hear and speak a word in a moment. That's a disciple. Folks, I'm telling you, there's a lot more, it's a lot more fun to live connected to him as a Christian in that avenue, because life is so much more exciting. But it also takes us being willing to step out of our thought processes and our emotions, because your emotions are saying, I can't say that. How do I say that to somebody? They don't know me. They might think I'm a nut. I don't want to look stupid. I'm probably the only person who had those thoughts. But on the other end of those things, if it's really a revelation from the Spirit of God, it's going to produce a result that Father wanted to produce that you're completely unaware of until it happens. So, for the sake of time, I will skip over a number of verses. But here's the thing. What you find in the Scriptures is Jesus, and as well as even Peter, They talk about that environment of getting things from the Spirit of God, and that in that environment of the things that you get from the Spirit of God, darkness cannot touch. It does not have access to it. It cannot stop it. If you put it in motion, it cannot stop it. Do you remember when Jesus was walking down the road, and he had the boys with him, and he said, hey, who meant to say that I am? And they started answering, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Herod thought Jesus, because of all the miracles, was John the Baptist. Kind of freaked him out a little bit. But, you know, here's the thing. Here is the mindset of the day, and it's still the mindset pretty much of natural man today. The only way supernatural things happen is if you either, A, left the planet and came back, or you are reincarnated, but you are not equipped to do anything. So that's basically the answers they gave him. Well, some people say that you're a dead guy and you came back and that's why you're empowered. And some people think, you know, well, both of them basically were dead guys that came back. So he said, well, Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He turned to Peter and said, Peter, you're blessed. Because natural men did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. And then he went on to say, upon this rock, and this is where our natural men minds get in the way, and we made it say something it doesn't say. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we thought that Jesus said, Peter, you're the man. We're going to make a church out of you because you're a genius. Even though a minute or so later, Peter turned around and says, Jesus, don't you ever say that someone's going to kill you. That is not going to happen. And Jesus turned around and probably looked right past him and said, Satan, get behind me. How many know if you're the dude and you're trying to get popular with all your boys, you don't want him to call you the devil? So he obviously wasn't saying, Peter, you're the man, we're going to make a church out of you. What he was actually saying was, Peter, because you got that source of information from my Father and from heaven's vantage point and not from man on the earth, that you're blessed, you're empowered to prosper. In fact, on that rock of what's revealed from heaven, I'm going to build my church, and the gates or the defenses of hell will never be able to stand against that. Stand against what? Stand against things that are revealed from heaven to you. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter. He said, you have an inheritance stored up in heaven for you. It's undefiled. And one translation says it's completely safe from any kind of marauders or the thieves. They cannot break in and steal it. It is stored up for you. Now, me being raised in church, I was told that meant when you're off the planet, you get a prize. But that's not what it's saying. Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is here now. Right? He said the kingdom of God is here, is at hand right now. If you read Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, you read any of those, Mark, his message, his assignment was to declare, from the beginning, he began to declare, the kingdom of heaven is here now. So heaven or the kingdom of God is not something that is chronologically on the other side, even though yes it is, but it also is simultaneously for right now. How many know that Jesus is not just on the throne? He doesn't just jump on the throne when you get there. Right? Father sends out an alarm. Hurry, somebody's coming. Quick, get here, quick. And he jumps. Okay. And then they walk through the pearly gates and, oh yeah. It's a simultaneous deal. See, the Spirit of God, the reason Jesus did what he did was because he took the veil. Isaiah 25 says he took the veil that was death, that was over all of humanity, that was the separation between that unification of heaven and earth. He went to the cross, paid the price, paid the lien against humanity that was that veil of death, separating all of humanity from that union. And when he paid the price, he basically, as a man, that's why he had to be a man. He wasn't an aberration. He wasn't a hallucination. He was a man with flesh, bone, blood. He paid that lien to restore that connection for every human being that's breathing. The challenge is the mental man basically took what was presented to us as the gospel, and because there were so many areas of I don't understand this and I don't understand that, we bridged it with our own mental thought processes and made it say something it didn't say, and we raised up whole entire generations of people that all they know is mental thought processes. And they're still just as disconnected from the vantage point of heaven as anybody else. So, that was my intro. Wow. So he said, if you know my original thoughts, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I talked to you about the kingdom traits of living from revelation. When we live from revelation, darkness has no ability to access you, has no ability to stop the results, has no ability to touch any of the inheritance that is yours in the here and now, right now. But see, that inheritance, he wants to feed you that inheritance any given moment. It's your inheritance to know. It's your inheritance when you're standing in front of somebody and they're getting beat up by darkness and there's infirmity in their body. It's your inheritance to know how to minister to them to get that thing off of them. In other words, Jesus is essentially saying this.
And once again, you can't touch this. You can't touch this.
So you get the idea of that song, right? You got the words? Okay. For the sake of time, let me just read a couple of scriptures, then we're going to move on to some things. Jesus said this in John said this through John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. All things came into being through him, speaking of Jesus. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shone in the darkness. And I love these translations. The darkness could not comprehend it. That's like the worst translation ever. Because it doesn't actually say that. It says the darkness cannot grab it and pull it down. So there's that characteristic of those things that come from, originate from heaven. Do you remember back when Jesus told Peter, he said, I also say to you, Peter, that you're the rock, because he said he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you're blessed because my Father revealed this, not any man. And he went on to say and build on that. He said, I'm going to build my church on this rock, the rock of those things, that transfer of revelation from the kingdom of heaven to you. And the gates of Hades or hell, or the defenses of darkness, will not overpower it. And then he went on to say in verse 19, still the same subject, he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be having been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be having been loosed in heaven. Now, look, I've been taught these verses a lot of different ways. And why I never saw that it was the same context and same subject as back when Jesus was talking about the rock, which is revelation, which is that which is transferred from heaven into the earth to you, I don't know. But even the verses, it says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What's the keys of the kingdom? Anything that's revealed to you any given moment. We saw a movie last week, and there was a scene in there where the guy that put together this documentary over in Columbia, yeah, that place. He was ministering to her. She had massive migraine headaches all the time. She wasn't getting any sleep, and you know, the natural mind. What do we think? Well, you got a nerve out of place. You got this or that or the other. And so, you know, he was just praying for her and no relief. So he thought, well, I'm going to ask the Lord, what's going on here, Lord? And the Lord didn't tell him what was going on. Do you remember that scene? He just said, tell her to open her mouth twice. That makes no sense to the natural mind at all. Your natural mind is being tempted to say, no, I don't think I'll do that. But he went ahead and acted on that, and as soon as he did that, she fell back in the chair, and she was demonically being oppressed, and she got set free. Now, what does opening the mouth twice have to do with anything of being demonically delivered? I have no idea. But the fact is, he took a piece of information that was only from heaven's vantage point. He acted on that, and it produced heaven's results. That was a key to unlock the kingdom in that woman's life. And she was free from that point on. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom. It's interesting that, you know, we've always been kind of taught that the keys of the kingdom are your authority. At least I was taught that. Well, I'm going to show you some things today. The keys of the kingdom are that which is revealed from heaven. Those are keys. The heavens are open. Jesus said, he told Nathanael from this point on, if you're impressed that I told you before you got here that I saw you sitting under a fig tree, and I told you, here comes a man in whom there is no guile. He was being real positive. But he was actually speaking in what he saw was in Nathanael that was put there by God. It may have came out naturally as cynicism. But when you take that deposit that is from heaven and you take the world off of it, it is what it's supposed to, it produces what it's supposed to produce. He said, how do you know me? You just met me. He said, I saw you before you were, when you were sitting under the fig tree. And he was so impressed that, because it wasn't just like that the tree was over there. It wasn't where he was. Jesus was functioning from insight and word knowledge. He's functioning from the keys. And he said, the heavens are open. You think that you're impressed now. You're going to be even more impressed when you see the heavens are open and the angels of God will be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He didn't say me as the Son of God. He said the Son of Man. How many know that you are a Son of Man? The phrase Son of Man is used at least 80 times just in the book of Ezekiel. And it was talking about Ezekiel. He was a dude. So if you're a female, you're still a son of man in the general sense. General sense. You're a daughter of man. But he's not excluding you. But so let's look at some things here for the sake of time. Let me jump forward. You know this verse here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, if you're like me, I've heard that verse a number of times. But I've got to be honest with you, I didn't know what that verse was actually saying until recently. Look, I've been doing the Christian thing for a long time. In a nutshell, I can't go back and reteach everything I taught in previous weeks, but I can say this. Did you know that it says whatever is born of God overcomes the world? Did you know your mind's not born of God? What's born of God? Well, if you have declared that Jesus is Lord and you got a glimpse of that and you simply acted on what he showed you, that impression or whatever, and you know that, then he basically took your spirit, connected it with his spirit, now you're one spirit with him, and now you're created to see what he sees and hear what he's saying. And he's saying that overcomes the world. Well, that's the same characteristic as what we saw in the other verses, that anything that comes out of heaven is separate and protected and untouchable from the environment of darkness, right? Same thing here. Here's the challenge. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory we have that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you're like me and you're raised in church, you thought your faith came from you. You tried to have enough faith. You tried to get enough faith. You tried to have faith in certain situations. Life is sucking and you're trying to get enough faith. It's exasperating. You know why? Because the faith that the New Testament talks about is not coming from you. It's coming from Him. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So the nature of the faith that he is talking about is revelatory in nature. It shows you things. It's the evidence of things not seen. When faith shows up, if you're spending time with Jesus in your personal life, and you have your Bible, you have your New Testament open, or whatever, and you're reading anywhere in there, and you're reading, and all of a sudden you read this verse, and it's like, man, this verse is really sticking out to me. And you keep reading it, and you keep reading it, and it's like all of a sudden an impression is dropped in here. Oh my gosh, I see something here. When faith shows up, that's Father showing you that there's something in that verse that belongs to you. He's wanting you to take a hold of that, take ownership of it, and then believe, walk it out. See, like I said before, faith and believing are not the same thing. I've said it probably 50 times, but I promise you, if we let ourselves slide back into our auto-programming, we're going to talk about faith and talk about believing and as being the same thing, and it is not the same thing. Faith comes from Him. It's revelatory in nature. It's revealing to you what you don't see with your natural eyes. He'll drop impressions in here. He'll drop knowings in here. He'll actually show you pictures of things. He'll give you images of things. He'll show you things in dreams. When you're in His Word, he'll strongly impress upon you something, and it'll just hit you like a ton of bricks. That's the faith communicating to you, this is yours, take ownership of it. Believing, these signs follow them that believe in my name. Believing is you taking what was revealed to you in the back door and walking it out the front. Does that make sense? So in this verse, in 1 John, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Yes, he did call it yours, but it's yours because it was dropped inside of you. You could, every time you see the word faith, if you'll read, I realize I'm doing a little review in here, but if you'll read, every time you read your New Testament and you read the word faith, you read the word, the revelation of faith. Because faith is revealing something to you. The purpose of faith comes from Father to reveal to you what you don't see with your natural eyes, but is nonetheless there and is nonetheless yours. It's that inheritance that's yours right now. That's what overcomes the world. You know, we say, there's another verse later on in 1 John that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, again, isn't that the same exact environment? Communicating the exact same environment of those things that come from heaven are untouchable and uncontaminatable and undefilable from darkness? That's all speaking about Revelation. We can't walk in our own natural heads, live in the mental man Christianity and say, well, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, because the greatest one inside of you is you between your two ears. And you're not going to experience the level of victory that you're supposed to experience, because the greatest one in the room at any given time is not him, it's you. Well, I just believe. You know how many counseling sessions I've been in where I've literally read in the scriptures and gave them revelation from heaven in those scriptures, and they just turned around and said, well, I just believe. Fill in the blank. The Spirit of God loves you so much that He's willing to give you revelation on how He thinks, so if you'll latch on to that, it will bring to you absolute deliverance, absolute security, and absolute freedom. Because He loves you that much. But it doesn't come by just living out of our own heads. Now granted, our thought processes, we will learn to train ourselves to submit up under the revelation that we got. Right? Let me show you this. So again, that which is revelatory from heaven cannot be stopped by darkness. This principle is brought out in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Another verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, I put in parentheses the open door, because revelation from heaven is spoke of by Jesus in the Gospels as an open door or the narrow gate. It's not something people notice, because if you're living out of your own head, you completely miss it. That guy that was praying for that woman, he could have blew that piece of information off as, this is the most silly thing I've ever heard. I must have had some bad Colombian food earlier. But he didn't blow it off. He recognized where it came from. And as ridiculous as it sounded, he said, well, I'm not sure what to do with this, but open your mouth twice. She did, he did, she got set free. Because from heaven's vantage point, he knew she was demonically oppressed. You were designed to live seeing what he sees and knowing what he knows. That connection is true Christianity. That is what we all, once we, you know, think about this, guys. When you got that glimpse that Jesus really was who he says he was, I mean, you may have had a different experience. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of big experience. I just had this knowing he really is who he says he is. It wasn't like all the angels came into the room and I saw them all and I was like, oh my gosh. It wasn't like that at all. I just had a knowing. Well, Paul says in his writings, as you entered into the kingdom, the same way you entered in, walk in that. So you may have just had an impression. Learn how to walk in your impressions. You may have had a dream. Learn how to pay attention to those. Write them down. If they didn't come from him, it doesn't matter. If they did, ask him what they meant. He'll tell you. So, he said, everyone who hears the words of mine acts on them. So, everyone who hears the words of mine, that's the revelation of faith, and acts on them, that's believing. He's like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, I heard this story when I was a kid. I never really understood that the rock he's speaking of here was the same rock he was speaking of when he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, the defenses of hell will not fail against it. I didn't realize it was the same rock. It's that process of that which is revealed from heaven to you. That's why he started this verse out by, everyone who hears these words of mine. Probably the Holy Spirit saying, he's telling you the truth. Okay. Let's skip forward. Jesus was asked this question one time by the religious system of the day. He said, they asked him, look, who gave you the authority to do all this? Because he went into the temple, man. He turned over tables. He made a whip out of a rope. Drove all the marketplace people out. The religious system didn't like that. A bunch of guys, they asked him, who gave you the authority to do this? He said, well, I'll tell you what. Now pay attention to what he did here. They asked him, who gave you the authority to do this? He said, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. This is the question he asked. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? What's he asking? He's asking, what's the source of the ministry of John? Is it heaven, or did it come out of the mind of a man? Whether you realize this or not, he just answered their question. I'm going to show you this. Why is living from revelation important? Because without it, you're not walking in given authority. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, I realize that what I'm getting ready to tell you may fly in the face of what you've heard. But I promise you that I'm not saying anything different than anybody else has said on the subject of the authority of, we call it, the believer. But I'm going to give you some insight into what the real authority of the believer is, not just knowing a theological concept. We become comfortable settling for being taught something and that being the same thing as it being us. And it's not. So we'll go to this conference or that conference or this conference, and we'll just collect teachings. We'll collect, oh, I gotta know this, I gotta learn this, it's good to get the input, it's good to get the information. It's important. But that the Spirit of God is not giving you the information so that you can just collect it in your Rolodex of spiritual information. If you're like me, if you've had any exposure to this teaching of, quote, the authority of the believer, you've found yourself in situations where you're standing in the presence of something and you're trying to exercise your authority over it and tell it to get out of somebody's life or get off of your child or get off this or that. And nothing happened. I can say, yes, that's happened to me. And so then what is the tendency to do is you just say, well, it doesn't work, forget it, that's not true. Stick it over there. That's what those crazy people over there believe. I just believe. And you go join another group. But maybe the teaching's not right, I mean, not wrong, but maybe the reason that it doesn't work is because the teaching of authority in and of itself isn't what gives you authority. Say that again. The teaching of authority, okay, I'll say it, 1, 2, 3. The teaching of authority in itself is not what gives me authority. You ready? Okay, well, one person is. Okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, what did Jesus say? When Jesus entered Capernaum, the centurion came to him, imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying and paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you come under my roof. Why? Because, well, number one, he wasn't a Jew, and they couldn't associate according to the customs of the day. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Could have just left it at that. But this centurion, this Roman centurion, explained why he said that. He said, for I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it, or his servant, or his, whoever it is. And I say to those who are following, truly, I say to you, I'm sorry, I'm trying to read the screen. It's glaring because it doesn't show on my screen. He said, I said, come, and they come. I say, do this, and they do it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following me, truly I say to you, I've not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. What is it the centurion said? The centurion said, look, I recognize authority on a man. The reason I recognize the authority on a man is because I recognize that you're submitted up under something, just like I'm submitted up under something. And me being submitted up under that is what gives me the authority to turn and say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. I recognize that you are submitted up under something, and that something gives you the ability to just stand where you're standing and say, be free, and they will be. So what was it that he was submitting to? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Notice this. It's talking about the contrast and the difference between heaven and earth. And it says there is a pattern of things in heaven that he wants us to walk out in the earth. Let me say there's a pattern. He spoke to Moses when it came to building the tabernacle, and he said, Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. See, he said, you see that you make the thing according to the pattern which has been shown you on the mountain. So what took place there? The transfer of revelation from heaven to earth, Moses worked out what he saw, right? Jesus did the same thing. In Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. So that was Hebrews 8, 5. This is Hebrews 5, 8. It says, although, speaking of Jesus, he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Now, terrible translation. Because the natural mind of man, what have they done with that verse? Well, God's going to beat the hell out of you so that you can learn. That's not what that verse says. In the original Greek language, it says that he learned to, the word obedience means he learned to submit himself up under what he was hearing in the midst of all the external persecution. So what was Jesus submitted to here that gave him the authority when he was here to speak, and it came to pass? What did the centurion see? He saw that he was submitted up under what he would get at any given moment, and he would walk those things out, and that transfer of revelation is what gave him the authority. Folks, without this, there is no this. I don't care if your scriptures say it. The Spirit of God never designed for anything that is heavens to be walked out simply by your own mental man. Otherwise, you wouldn't need the revelatory ministry of the Spirit of God to show it to you. I'll show you some more. You ready? This is in Revelation. I'm reading out the Passion Translation. Finally got there. I'll be done here in a minute. He says, I know all that you've done for me. This is Jesus speaking to the church at Thyatira. Your love and faith, your ministry and steadfast perseverance. In fact, you now excel in these virtues even more than at the first. Verse 25. Cling tightly to all that you have until I appear. To everyone who is victorious and continues to do my works to the very end, I will give you what? Authority over the nations. Do you suppose that they're doing the works of Jesus apart from the revelation that Jesus walked in? I'm going to say no. So when he says, cling tightly to all that you have until I appear, and everyone who's victorious and continues to do my works, well, you can't do his works without his insight. Right? He said, if you continue in that direction, I'm going to give you authority over nations to shepherd them. Notice this. Verse 28. Even as I also received authority from the presence of my Father. Wait. What did this just say? I received authority from the of my Father. You don't suppose that he spent time in the presence of his Father and there was no revelation flowing, do you? Probably not. He said, even as I've also received authority from the presence of my Father, I'll give the morning star to the one who experiences victory. Verse 29, so the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully, there's that flow of revelation, to what the Spirit is presently saying to all of the churches, even though he's writing to Thyatira. Now, you can write these verses down, or you can go on to our website. It's not even, I didn't talk to you about that, but Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, all mention the morning star. Revelation 22, verse 16, speaks of Jesus as the morning star, and Revelation chapter 1 tells us that he is the one that holds the keys of death and hell, and he unlocks. How does he unlock things? He unlocks things by giving you revelation. Because that's the keys. Can you see this? Notice this. Now he moved on to another church, Laodicea. He said, write the following to the, this is speaking to John, write the following to the messenger of the congregation of Laodicea. For these are the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know all that you do. I know that you are neither frozen in apathy or fervent with passion. Now, how I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are neither cold or hot, but you're lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I mean, I've heard these verses read 100 times. Usually it's complete with a big rubber mallet. Bam, 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 bam. Verse 17. For you claim, I'm rich and getting richer. I don't need a thing. Yet you're clueless that you're miserable, poor, blind, barren, and naked. Now, notice what he goes on to say. So I counsel you to purchase gold perfected by fire so that you can be truly rich. Purchase a white garment to cover and clothe your shameful Adam nakedness. This is the Passion Translation. In other words, your natural man thinking, acting, just the natural man, just on a mental level. The mental man. This is all you do. You're a mental man. He said, to cover and clothe your shameful Adam nakedness or your mental man, your natural man, just where you live, what you relate to. Purchase eye salve to be placed over your eyes so that you can truly see. What's he talking about? Revelation. All those I dearly love, I what? Unmask and train. Sounds like he's talking about a disciple to me. What's the mask? Mental man. Your natural man. Who all your relatives have always told you you are. Except he sees you for who you really are. And it's not a bad thing. So what is he saying to this Laodicean church? Well, look going on, last verse. Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. If there's that door. What's the door signify? The flow of revelation from heaven to earth. If it's an open door, there's a flow of revelation. There's a flow of information. There's something that he's transferring from heaven, from heaven's vantage point, from Father's knowing into your knowing. He wants you to get it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to get it. He wants you to walk it out. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door, I'll come in and feast with you and you'll feast with me. To the one who conquers, I'll give you the privilege of sitting with me on my throne. Does that sound like authority? Well, Pastor Dan, I thought we already had authority. I thought we were already seated in heaven places with him. Well, that's what Ephesians says, chapter 1, chapter 2. But you have to understand that he's speaking from heaven's vantage point. That is a true fact. But you can't sit in heavenly places next to Jesus and think like man on the earth. The vantage point's a little bit different. Notice what he said here. I'm standing at that door. I want revelation to flow to you. If you're open to hear my voice and you open the door, to the one who conquers, I'm going to give. What's conquering? The one who learns how to live from revelation. See, the Laodicean church, what was their challenge? Their challenge was they were living like a natural man. They're living like mental man. Why else would he be telling them about shift over and learn how to live from that which is revealed from heaven so you can be a conqueror? See, here's the challenge that we have. He said to them, he says, you say you're rich and you're in need of nothing. Here's the challenge. You say, Pastor John, how do you know that they're just living in their mental man? Because it's the same thing the church does today. Oh, I know that teaching on authority. Oh, I know that teaching on healing. Oh, I know that teaching on prosperity. Oh, I know that teaching on salvation. Oh, I know that. I just fill in the blank. I don't need anything else. I know all this. But he says, you don't realize that with the absence of revelation, you're poor, you're blind, and you're unclothed. Because you're only living in your natural man. He said, I'm trying to get you to the place where if you'll open the door, if you'll allow, and here's the ground in Matthew 4, when he's talking about the sower sows the word, and then all the ground, the different types of ground, he's talking about the same thing here. He says, if you'll open the door and you'll let yourself be trained to get revelation from heaven, then I'm going to come in and you're going to turn into a conqueror, and I'm going to give you the privilege of sitting with me on my throne just as I conquered and sat down with my Father. How did Jesus have to conquer? He had to learn how to submit himself up under what he was hearing, turn, and walk in the authority that revelation was facilitating to him. Without this, there is none. So the challenges we've had in our Christian environments is we got a hold of the teaching on the authority of the Christian, and we just thought it was a good teaching. We just thought if I can agree with it, then I got it. Agreeing with it is not giving you that authority, because you can agree with it mentally in your head. But there was no flow of insight from heaven in the truth of that thing that lit you up on the inside, that gave you a glimpse of something that from heaven's vantage point, from the throne of Jesus, and you saw it from his vantage point, and you turned and you began to walk it out believing because you got the revelation of it and you walked it out. That is what facilitates the authority. That is what darkness cannot stand against. They're just going to stand and laugh at you and laugh at me. If we're just going to be satisfied to collect theological teachings in our mind and think we have it because we know it. When the whole entire time, Jesus is trying to get us to unhitch from mental Christianity and get seated right back on the original foundation that you were created to live from, and that is from revelation. It's the exact same thing he talked about in Hebrews. This is my last scripture. You guys can stand up. Just so you know, I'm done. You can stand up. You remember this verse? Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest. He said there still remains a promise for the people of God. He said the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, when it was going across the wilderness with Moses, it didn't latch onto it. Why? Because it said it wasn't mixed with faith. It wasn't faith from them. It was the revelation that faith was trying to get to them. So they would attach the information with the revelation, and they would walk through the wilderness in 10 days because they were supposed to, instead of getting stuck in their own heads. It didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with that revelation of faith. He said, so there still remains a rest for the people of God. What is that rest? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You'll find rest for your soul because my yoke is easy. What's his yoke? His yoke is learning how to submit up under revelation and walk it out. That's the only thing, as one of his offspring, folks, that's the only thing that's going to give you rest for your mental man, is learning how to live from the revelation that the Spirit of God wants to get over to you anytime, every time, all the time, wherever you are. You might as well start with opening up your Bible and letting him show you stuff from there. There is no other rest. That's it. Now you see the dilemma. Well, we started out talking about developing a respect and a value for the revelation of heaven. It shows up in our priorities in our life. It shows up in the amount of time that we're willing to give ourselves over to allowing the Spirit of God, spending time with Him and letting Him train you. Letting Him train you how to recognize those impressions. My gosh, think about on your job, wherever you work, on your job, if you could learn how to recognize the ideas that came from Him and walk them out, He'll make you rich. What did He do for Joseph? Joseph's in jail. He gave revelation from heaven to Joseph in a dream. When Joseph walks it out, he becomes almost the second in command of Egypt. What did that? It was that transfer of information from heaven to him. Anything that you're a part of, I don't care what it is, I don't care what your job is, what you do, what you think, how insignificant it is, do you think? He has the ability to give you ideas, give you concepts, show you things that nobody else has even thought about. He has the ability to take you, when you sit down with your Bible and you open your Bible and you begin to read things, He has the ability to show you things that you have never seen in your lifetime. I have read this book over and over and over and over and over and over and over for 30 plus years. And He's just now showing me these things that He's showing me now. Why? Because He's trying to get us to step up into these things, because all of the promises of God are yes and amen, but it's only in Him. Not in the theological teaching of being in Him. The information that comes out of Him that's in you if you'll allow yourself to be trained. Did you guys get anything out of this? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you, man. We just think you're awesome. We thank you for giving us the Spirit of God, teaching us what you want us to see. I would ask right now, Lord, that you've got these things over to these folks. Open the eyes of their understanding. Give them the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation. Not just in natural things, but yeah, give them revelation in their jobs. Give them ideas. Show them things that nobody else has thought of. Give them ideas of witty inventions that nobody's even thought of. But even more importantly than that, draw them into your heart. Draw them into your word. Draw them into the revelation of your word. And begin to unveil and unlayer all of the constant layers of the mental mind of man that we've called Christianity. Get it off, unlayer your word, and begin to expose the real foundation and revelation information that's there. So that we can begin to unleash these things and walk these things out and see them impact the marketplace in our cities. You can do more in one glimpse of revelatory thought than we can accomplish in 20 years of human effort. Thank you for redeeming the time. Everybody agree with that prayer, said.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.